Interested in ghosts? UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
Cinema. It's a haunted drive-in, babies. And you know what we do there? We host classic B-horror and sci-fi movies. Just like the ones you grew up with when you was a kid. And it's at Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema right now, hosting on public access TV all over Metro Detroit. But guess what, kiddies? It's coming to you. And all you gotta do is have a computer. Just go to Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. It's nightmarecinema.com. We'll be broadcasting the show real soon, right from the website. Stay tuned. It's Wolfman Mac, Nightmare Cinema. Bye.
To go bump in the night. Night Watchers at nightwatchers.info. Whether you're an amateur or a professional paranormal investigator, the Night Watchers want you to investigate some of the country's most haunted places. The Night Watchers want you. Already in a group? Perfect. Groups are welcome. Join today at nightwatchers.info. Night Watchers at nightwatchers.info. The future of paranormal investigation.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
The very Reverend Father Daniel Gargiulo is a Byzantine Rite monk priest holding an ordination in the North American Old Catholic Church. He is the founder of Sanctuary Occult Investigations, the abbot of the Brothers and Sisters of the Holy Cross, vice rector of the St. Walbodo Cemetery, and the pastor of St. Andrew, the First Called Orthodox Catholic Church in Baltimore, Maryland. His esoteric research continues into the realms of exorcism, demonology, and psychic phenomena. The websites we have www.gargiulio.com, G-A-R-G-U-I-L-L-I-O.com, and www.naoldcatholic.com. That's short for North American Old Catholic.
Yeah.
So naoldcatholic.com. Those are the websites. Call them up in your browser, bookmark them.
Yes, please.
And welcome, Father Daniel, to Ghostly Talk.
Good evening, Father Daniel.
Good evening.
How you doing,
good
sir?
Good evening.
That was my.
Thanks for having me.
Sorry about that. That was a miscue. It's good to have you on the show. We've kind of been talking. We talked last hour with a guest about demonology and things like that. We're kind of kept it thematic tonight to discuss this stuff. It's just a topic that I don't think we give it enough attention to. I think
no, because it is dangerous and it is happening. I mean, you know that this kind of stuff happens. You can read the cases. You can see the. You know, the history of it, and it's something that goes on, and it's dangerous, and we're flirting somewhat, I think, with these kinds of things when we're
out in haunted locations and doing things.
We're not sitting there with.
I was going to say, like, we're talking about it on the air here. We're going to get, like, possessed here.
I think by gaining knowledge, I think we're strengthening ourselves.
Yeah, we're doing ourselves better.
So I think we're strengthening ourselves by talking about it on the air, but I think that when we're out and about and, you know, we're not learning, we're distracted, we're like, ooh, look at my gizmo, look at my gadget, you know. But we're out and about, we're in these locations where perhaps are locations where there's power and perhaps not just a ghost hanging around.
So
that's why I think it's important. So this is happening. Father Daniel, when we're out and about, is it dangerous? Is this something we need to learn about and say, you know, hey, what's going on here? We need to strengthen ourselves. This is a very real thing.
Yes, it is. Actually, from time to time, I do hear from paranormal investigators from various groups who have encountered something beyond what they were expecting. Most of the even the actual hauntings they encounter and verify turn out to be something more like, you know, old Uncle Fred just stuck around too long or something like that.
Yeah.
Occasionally they do encounter something that seems to be beyond human, and it is in referrals from a lot of cases like that that I've gotten a lot of the work that I do. So, yes, it is a danger, and it is out there. And the so-called infernal spirits or demonic spirits are a definite reality, even beyond my religious convictions. Just from evidence I've seen, I've been convinced of that.
And I think so, too. It's been ever since when I grew up. I was young when Amityville Horror came out, when The Omen, Omen series came out. I mean, this was very popular in the 70s to make into movies, and of course it scares ya.
Yeah.
You know, but it's something that you just can't control, so of course it's something that Hollywood aggrandized.
Well, they got their arms right around it.
But when you look at the, the entity, or you look at the, We were just talking about it. pea soup and the head spinning around.
The Exorcist.
The Exorcist.
God, come on.
I know. I'm.
How can you forget the granddaddy?
I'm thinking 50 million miles an hour. Yeah. But you look at those. Those are based on very real cases.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, they were Hollywoodized, but these are things that were happening to people. People, and I mentioned this to Ken, that people who are, you know, they could be standing in front of you in the checkout line today, and yet they're living in this existence.
Yeah.
And so it's scary. It's scary in real life as well.
Well, that these things could happen. And, you know, Father Daniel, I'm just curious, like, you know, in the research you mentioned, Doug, the stuff that we do, you know, what are these causes? What would cause demonic possession to happen to a person? I mean, are there things that we should watch out for when we're doing our research and we're out to these places? Is there things we can do? More or less, what would cause one of these things to happen to somebody?
There are several common elements that I found often in cases of demonic infestation and possession. One of them, the classic one, is, of course, occult dabbling. Someone dabbling in the occult without really a knowledge of what they're doing, just finding an old Ouija board and trying to use it, that sort of thing. Beyond that, one of the most common things I've found and that causes demonic spirits to be attracted is a history of some kind of child abuse, that sort of thing. Either a person who's now an adult who's abused as a child, or a home where child abuse has recently occurred.
Uh-huh.
Because evil spirits, I believe from my own research and experience, are basically disincarnate psychic vampires who feed very much on negative energy and on the energy of suffering and pain. And of course, child abuse is very much one of the most pain-causing things in existence. So that's something that is very often, not always, but
yeah,
very often involved in a case.
And so it is these negative emotions, though. I mean, and we hear this. I've heard this before, too. But you're more or less specifying on, I mean, child abuse. This is something that you're specifying on.
Well, he's seen it.
Seen it with people who've been abused like that, as children.
Is that enough, or is it somebody who, like, dwells on it or locks it up or something like that? Because I know some people who probably were abused as children, but they, you know, talk about it with their counselors or whatever and take care of it. Is it unresolved kinds of cases, or is it just any case? It's just happened to your victim and it can happen now.
Having hidden it away, oppressed the negative emotions so that they, you know, go into the wrong channels is often the case, of course. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
A good therapist is a very good thing to have, of course, in cases like that.
I agree. I think that anything, you know, in the closet like that would need to be
released. Get it off your chest.
Yeah.
You know, that's what has to happen. I mean, and that a lot of people don't do that, I don't think. That's mermaid, and that makes so much sense, though. It's so perfect. It's not perfect in a good sort of way, but it makes sense, though, because if somebody keeps these things bottled up like that their entire lives, they have all of they're like a pressure cooker with a cap on it, like locked down there.
Right.
It's ready to explode, right? And it just keeps simmering and simmering. And then you bring in this entity of whatever it may be.
That loves the negative emotion.
Yeah, that just feeds off this. I mean, it's mechanically, it works perfect. It's not a good thing, don't get me wrong.
Well, yeah, it's a negative kind of thing. But I mean,
right,
I can see how it totally is a symbiotic relationship
there. Completely. Yeah,
completely.
What are some signs? Father Daniel, what are the things we can look for if Doug gets possessed, which I've seen him in some situations, sir, where I think he may have been possessed? What can I look for to save my life and get out of the room?
I don't get
possessed. The usual things in true cases of possession, there will be some sort of supernatural phenomenon.
Uh-huh.
The most common ones, to begin with, during the oppression or obsession stage, when a demonic entity is taking control in a home before it enters a person, are things like objects disappearing from one room and appearing in another, that sort of thing, and objects levitating,
okay.
Things of that sort. And when a person becomes possessed and goes on to the next level, they will often, the person will levitate. They will often speak in languages that they've never studied. Things of that sort, all of the usual supernatural phenomenon that I think many people are familiar with from the movies, which has which have, of course, sensationalized it, but still many of the elements seen in movies like The Exorcist on some level or other actually occur.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, I'll admit the same thing, too, Father Daniel. I mean, you're mentioning these things like levitating, objects disappearing, and all these earmarks. And, I'm the first one to say I've watched The Exorcist a gazillion times. I think it's just an amazing film. And it's artistically and realistically speaking, because it was based on a lot of good, hard things, right? And, of course, they did sensationalize a lot of it, but it was based on something very real. And that's what you said before, Doug.
Right.
Was that.
A very real case and something that we're familiar with. And and I think it was very well discussed as well back in the 70s or whenever it came out. And it was, people learned a lot back then. It's been, you know, they've actually toned it down a bit now. Now everyone's into the action and the, the action and the other kinds of movies.
Yeah.
But the supernatural movies, like, and they've put out really horrible stuff like that White Noise, which should have never been made. But anyway, they've gotten off of that now.
They heard you yelling about it over and every single week here. And I think they said, Doug is not happy with us. We need to straighten our act.
We either have to put out a really good one like The Exorcist or just don't even bother.
Find something else to do.
But I'm telling you, it was very well discussed. People got a lot of recognition, and people learned, I think, through it, not only through, watching the movie, which was, obviously Hollywoodized and grandized, but the... but then also through the talks that, the ensuing talks, so-and-so on the Late Show or this and that book that came out. And, people just were talking about it, and it really, really, I think, educated a lot of people.
Yeah, it did.
And I think that's fallen off. I think that there's a lot of people. How long have you been, Father Tina, how long have you been doing this kind of research into the dark entities, the demons, the negative things?
Well, research into the supernatural, the occult, the paranormal, whatever you wish to call it, has been an interest of mine throughout my life. It actually, as far as getting into it more seriously as an investigator, started when I was in the year 1984, when I was 15 years old, and had actually graduated high school a bit early, and was looking for something interesting to do with my life, along with the normal necessary things.
Yeah.
And paranormal, what is now called paranormal investigating, was something that attracted me. Now, at the time, there weren't really many, at least public paranormal investigators around. There was Dr. Hans Holzer, there were Ed and Lorraine Warren, a few others. It wasn't really as big of a thing as it is now.
Well,
go ahead.
Do you know, back at that time, well, that's the thing where, this is where I think you find that, the format of our show is sort of like very free flowing, and that it's a lot like a conversation where we're just chatting.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what you just said, 1984 and that range and Hans
Holzer. You were like Dr. Holzer, right?
I'm actually 2 years older than Father Daniel. But what happens is also around that time I was reading books written by, and this is, I think, very interesting because I was looking at the same things you were, I think, about that time. Because I would read I'd hear about, the Warrens are coming to do a presentation, and I'd read about Dr. Holzer did, another book, because he does so many. And then, but I'd also read the Seth books were really big back then. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, the story with that is Jane Roberts, and her husband had started playing with a Ouija board in Canada somewhere, and then she started to be able to predict what this entity that they were talking to would say, and then suddenly she would, you know, they allowed it, right? They experimented with this relationship between the non-living Seth and the living Jane Roberts, and then she would take on his characteristics. Seth was, you know, short and round and plump and jolly, and Jane wasn't. She was taller than him and thin and very modern looking for the late 70s, early 80s, and
yeah.
You know, with the hair and the wild clothes, and you know, I mean, she was just, you know, modern at the time, and you know, now she's deceased, but we had Seth was an amazing character, because she would come around on these book tours and she would put out a book by Seth. I mean, she tried, it made big headlines. She was allowing something to possess her temporarily. Why was, I mean, that was obviously, now that I know, it was kind of dangerous. It was, they were taking a chance.
It was. Actually, remembering back then, it even struck me then, Seth, the very name Seth, was the name of the ancient Egyptian god of darkness. It was the Egyptian form of Satan. Basically, and it's interesting that that happened around the same time that all of the reports of satanic cults started and things of that sort during the 80s.
Right. Yeah. And but the books, when you read them, because I read one or two, I didn't read the whole bunch, right? Because there were so many. But and I thought the story was fascinating. I thought Jane and her husband, and then ex-husband later, were fascinating, and I thought Seth was fascinating. But the books were all about, you know, they were pretty much standard fare for the 60s. Love and peace and, you know, everybody is going to, you know, be better. It's better when you die than here. You know, it's the whole, you know, what you hear. It's very, very New Agey, too. And
yeah.
And I'm just, you know, the books didn't really hold up to, you know, an evil entity. It didn't seem like Seth was. He proclaimed he was a teacher, I think, and he taught, and it was, some of the books were amazing, some of the ideas were a little far-fetched, some of them were, wow, I think that could be right on, you know, that does make sense in my worldview, so I don't know if they really got a, you know, they got an evil demon, but I think they got pretty much what they said he was doing, but that was dangerous, and I don't think I want any thing, you know, I mean, I'd love to be able to write a book just by going into a trance, but I don't want something to write it through me. I just think that would be dangerous.
Would that be dangerous, Father Daniel? I mean, that's something I'd like, that's interesting. Is it a dangerous thing right there?
Yes, opening yourself to possession by any entity is dangerous. Less so if you have practice in such things, like those who practice some of the high forms of Kabbalistic magic, ceremonial magic, may be able to more control such things, but than those who are just, you know, dabbling in the matter with a Ouija board or trying to be mediums or whatever.
Yeah.
In any event, even if you are well schooled in these matters, it's still dangerous. It's just knowing what the danger is that's the difference.
Well, nothing solid still. I mean, you yourself, Father Daniel, have a lot of training in this, but I think it's just like ghost hunting for us, though, too. We have no way of predicting anything as far as this stuff's concerned. It's still, you know, for us, from a scientific end, it's very theoretical, but it seems like there would be a lot of unpredictable things working in this stuff. I mean, you wouldn't be able to really lock down. Well, I can't give you a definite answer on something because I don't know exactly what it's going to do, right?
Well, that's why we're lucky that Father Daniel's been, you know, interested in this
for a while. Yeah, experience always comes
decades,
into play.
Because
yeah.
Experience is where we can learn that, hey, you know, if you've got a traumatic childhood, with, you know, child abuse and things
yeah,
like that,
yeah.
You lock it away. That could be a battery.
You need to get it out of your system
for right. One of these evil entities.
Exactly.
Wow.
I agree. We have to go to break here in a couple of seconds, Father Daniel, but I kind of want to close up that one last topic, if you don't mind. Is there any other... it was a while ago, so I'm kind of rolling us back here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got us totally...
No, you're good. You're perfectly cool. But is there any other signs we should look for? I mean, and this is... I really want to make sure we finish, that we close this thing, because I want people,
well, I want
to,
people know
this
know,
stuff, right?
Yeah.
We mentioned a couple of the supernatural things. Are there physical things we could look for example?
You can look for things like a person having a complete change of personality. I mean, even beyond what would happen in a psychological illness, like a normally well-balanced person suddenly becoming cruel to animals. I had a recent case of a six-year-old girl who was being influenced by an evil spirit. And remember when I said this was a six-year-old girl who had started killing her pets in very strange manners. She had four hamsters. She smothered two of them and drowned two of them.
Oh, my God.
Remember, this is a six-year-old girl. So this is some sudden cruelty from a perfectly nice person otherwise is another.
That really bums me out, is I have a guinea pig, too, and I love that little thing, man. That really freaks me out. I could never do that to my poor guinea pig. But it's disturbing to see a child of that age to do something like that. I mean, yeah, that's definitely out of the ordinary, I think, Father Daniel. Why don't we take a quick break? Let's take a quick break here. I want to come back.
That.
I want to cover some... There's a lot of other stuff to cover here. In such little time, unfortunately. Father Daniel, can you hang tight for a second? We're going to go to another break, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, great. We're... Demonology, talking about this stuff. I don't
amazing.
Know how else to express it.
The website, www.gargulio.com. Call that up because we're talking with him right now.
Yeah.
GARGUILLIO.com.
Yeah.
And coming up, this is a musical break, right?
Yeah, this is a musical
break. We play independent music on our breaks. I want people to listen to the independent music, take it in, enjoy it. It may not be for you, but this is something that some folks, hardworking folks, have put together in their basements or paid for the time, all on their own. I want you to hear it, at least get exposure to it and try and, you know, learn from it.
Mm-hmm. More demonology after this break.
Would you like to listen to Ghostly Talk Live on your cell phone? Perhaps you have a comment for us or our guests. All you have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, dial 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
Power Hub Radio.
The Internet's only rock and roll paranormal extravaganza.
Special guest with us, Robbie Thomas, psychic medium.
Where is the Warren House?
It's in Ontario, Canada. It is a house that was owned by a shipbuilder. And it was haunted. The tools of the trade back then were baby powder. The reason being is I could see, and the kids with me couldn't, so I figured if I threw the baby powder in the air as the spirit was walking through, it would cover it, and then they could say, oh, we see it now. The next tool was a flashlight, so we know where we're going, and a rope, so we could tie it around so we don't get taken away by the spirit. So that was me.
Isn't that what your last girlfriend said?
that's just a Friday night for Anthony. Baby powder, a rope, and a flashlight.
Para Hub Radio, Thursdays, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern, on Bounce Radio and parahub.org.
Hi, this is Luke. And this is Tobin from Quest Research.
Hey, Tobin, what do you get when four guys with absolutely no video experience whatsoever decide to produce their own online paranormal TV show?
I don't know. What? Oh, wait. I do know. Ghost Diaries, right?
That's right.
You can check us out and get involved at www.questresearch.net. And the good thing about being new is that we will only get better.
What are we made of? Why do I get sick? How can I live a more balanced and whole life? These are just a few of the questions explored each week by naturopath, medical intuitive, and clairvoyant Dr. Rita Louise on Just Energy Radio. Explore your possibilities every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us at JustEnergyRadio.com.
Ghostly Talk.
Last half an hour, and I'm starting to get really crusty here, I'm telling you.
Truthfully.
I am, man, I'm tired.
I'm doing good now.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm like, wow, this is fascinating stuff.
Am I burnt right now? I'm loving this discussion we're having tonight, but God, man, I'm just like, oh,
yeah.
I just feel it. We've been up so long, we're just dead right now. So, all right, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
And we're talking with Father Daniel Gargiulo. Did I pronounce it correctly, Father Daniel, or did I screw it up?
You did all right.
Is it Gargiulo? Gargiulo, right?
I pronounce it Gargiulo.
Gargiulo. All right, so you screwed up too.
I was messing up. Oh,
sorry,
no.
About that. I tried. You know what the funniest part is? I do all my preliminary calls before the show.
Right.
And I called Father Daniel. And I actually asked him, sir, how do you pronounce your name? And I can't remember it. Piece of proof why I have the memory of a goldfish nowadays. I'm telling you. We were talking the last half hour about, science possession, what causes possession. And this is something I really interesting, I think, would be to talk about right now is, what is it, why couldn't I be someone who could do exorcism?
Well,
why can't I?
That's the thing. Is there are people on TV, and there are people writing books, there are people doing all these things that it just seems like they take it upon themselves to cast out demons or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know. When I grew up, it wasn't that easy. You had to be trained. You had to learn all the stuff. It took years and years and years. Then you had to have somebody show you how. And even then, it was difficult. And even in the movies, they had that. They had, the experienced one and the non-experienced one, and you had to work with them. And it was a process, and it's something, that's obviously extremely based in yourself.
Yeah, point being, I don't think it's a very easy thing to do. It just isn't, a half an hour, we expel these spirits, with commercials.
No. Right.
it don't work that way.
Does it work?
What gives a priest the power of exorcism, Father Daniel? How does it work? I mean, I don't really know how to ask the question. How does this work?
In the case of a priest of the Catholic or Orthodox tradition,
mm-hmm.
We believe that the priest is empowered with the ability to perform exorcisms by the process of apostolic succession. Christ himself performed exorcisms. He gave this power to his apostles, and it was passed down through the bishops and priests of the church to those of us holding that position in the present day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean that every priest or every bishop even is really a qualified exorcist, because it is a very specialized field.
Yeah.
We by virtue of our ordination, have to have the power to perform exorcism, but that doesn't mean we have the experience to do it. It does take study, practice, and it is a very specialized field, and I certainly don't suggest it to everyone or even every priest unless they feel especially called towards that particular ministry.
Okay. And you did say that.
And I agree. I think that's absolutely right, because I went to, although, my faith is not that, I went to the University of Detroit, which is a Jesuit university.
Yeah.
And I know from talking with the Jesuits that a lot of them have widely different interests. You know, one might be extremely into history and just want to know everything there is about, you know, early French history.
Yeah.
You know, okay, well, what does that have to do with, you know, nothing.
No, nothing at
all. And one might be an antique person who just loves antiques. One might be, you know, into hobbies and crafts like, you know, making macrame. I don't know, but they had extremely widely varying personal interests in their, you know, yes, they all were of one as far as, you know, religious studies.
Yeah.
They were, you know, they knew all, I mean, they were just amazing, you know, as far as spirituality and religion. But then, you know, outside of that, they had just phenomenal interests and hobbies. One I knew was into radios and tinkering with electronics like that, but not like computers, but it was like radio. So, I mean, you're talking widely varying interests, and so some may or may not be called to or drawn toward this kind of work or this kind of, you know, thing, even though they've got obviously they've got tons of training and they know everything that all the you know that they've studied about spirituality, and then it just doesn't it's not their thing.
It's not their
it's
thing.
It's not their thing.
And yeah, like you said, also Father Daniel, it probably isn't for everybody. I'm sure there has been someone in history, in the faith that really wanted. They felt they were called to do something like this, but maybe they just weren't cut out for it. Maybe they just couldn't handle that. Correct?
I'm sure that's happened on many occasions. Let me add though that even though not everyone can perform exorcisms and. Certainly among lay people, it's not something to be tinkered with.
Uh-huh.
There are prayers, traditional prayers, that any person could say against the evil spirits. The most famous one, the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel, which any person can say.
Uh-huh.
And the minor prayers of exorcism, which can be said as prayers, even by lay people, which can be used against evil spirits. But the solemn form of exorcism is, according to tradition, only to be performed by a priest with the permission of the local bishop.
Well, and you mentioned, you mentioned a second ago too. Also, the prayer to Saint Michael and things like that. And these are things that you can do. Are these things that any person can do to protect themselves from these evil spirits on an everyday basis?
What would be a good idea before going into a haunted location,
or even just day to day?
Yeah,
day to day. I mean, what can the average person who isn't in the priesthood do to protect themselves from evil spirits?
Well, there are the prayers that we mentioned, the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel in the Eastern Orthodox tradition. We also have some very good prayers, the exorcism prayers of St. Basil the Great, the exorcism prayers of St. John Chrysostom. They can be said by any person, and other cultures, too, have exorcism prayers, even outside of Christianity and Judaism, there are forms of exorcism and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And basically, I would suggest these for anyone who believes they may be in a situation where such things may be present. It doesn't hurt.
Uh-huh.
Put it that way.
So it is prayer. I mean, the bulk of it is prayer, though, within yourself to batten down these demons, so to say.
Yes, and I'll say beyond that, for those who have a problem with religion or with faith, even looking at it from a purely scientific point of view, in the point of view of scientific paranormal research anyway, even if you don't quite have the faith yourself or have a religious belief, just the fact that these prayers have been used in many cases for hundreds or even thousands of years, the same or similar prayers, you can believe that they have built up a certain power that you can tap into, even if you yourself are not part of that faith. So I believe that that's something that anyone can use and hold on to in that case.
But there has to be faith there, though, too. If, I mean, you just can't blindly regurgitate this prayer or one of these prayers, you know, if you keep it in your pocket or something like that and just think that you can read this. And I think you actually have to have the faith, though.
No, I think you can.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because it's not your personal faith, but other people have it. Uh-huh. It's a lot like voodoo and magic. It's there whether you believe it or not.
Okay,
you know it happens.
Father Daniel, I mean, we're not arguing.
No, we're Father Daniel. If you've never heard the show,
we're not arguing. No, it's in
the. We talk like this a lot.
Who's right, Father Daniel? Come on, tell us who's right.
But I mean, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to learn.
Yeah. That's an interesting point.
Well, I'll give you another possibility. Also, even if you don't have, like if you've left the faith or you don't follow the faith of your ancestors, what I would suggest is using appropriate prayers from the religion of your ancestors. If they were Roman Catholic, if they were Orthodox Jewish or whatever, even if you've left the faith or never practiced it yourself, I believe that a lot of this power does run along bloodlines in some cases. Obviously, as you can look, a lot of ethnic cultures are held together by the religious faith of the people involved in them, the people who are part of those cultures. And I believe if you've even left your ancestral religion, but in a time of great need, I believe you can still call upon it, and from my experience and that of others whom I have dealt with, I believe that that's another possibility that could work in a case like that.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, you're right, Doug.
Well, I think so, too.
What's up, Bonnie?
I have a question from the chat room.
Okay.
Vance would like to know if there have been Vance.
Who is this Vance?
You know Vance. He would like to know if there have been any well-documented cases of possession where the entities have been named as specific demons.
Oh, yes. There's one very famous case in the 1920s, which you can find an old book called Begone Satan, if you want to look that up. Begone Satan,
mm-hmm.
A very well-documented case of a Catholic exorcist, and the demon named itself as Beelzebub, and also another demon named itself Judas, and claimed to be Judas, the former apostle who turned traitor.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many other cases. The case where the movie The Exorcism of Emily Rose was based on the original case. The demons named themselves as the demons who had possessed in the past. I believe one said he was the same demon that possessed Julius Caesar. Another one claimed he was the demon that possessed Judas. I think he's a demon that possessed Hitler, things of that sort. And in my own experience, and I've on several occasions, I've encountered spirits that claim to be the demon Asmodeus, who was found in the book of Tobit, or Tobias, in the mm-hmm. Old Testament in the Catholic Bible, mm-hmm. the demon of lust and destruction.
So, I mean, they've presented themselves with these names, or I mean, then that example you just mentioned, that they mentioned their name. This is who I am.
Yes.
Wow.
That
would freak.
Amazing.
I'm not gonna lie. I would really freak out. I would not be able to handle something like that.
Beyond that, though, when bringing up names, just about every demon, if you talk to it long enough, which is not something I recommend, but unfortunately in exorcism it does become necessary sometimes. Just about every demon, for one reason or another, will sometime claim to be Satan himself.
Really?
They all seem to do that, whether for just for shock value or because of their pride, or I suspect because all demons believe that they partake part in the nature of Satan. The word Satan, of course, is from the Hebrew Shaitan, meaning adversary or accuser, which is something that all demons have in their nature, so they all use the name Satan at some time or another, it seems to me.
But in that case, it doesn't sound like it's an actual... deception with a demon.
Well, it's kind of one of the things.
That's pretty much
they're
the rule.
Like bread with butter right there. You know?
Yeah, they're really good at that.
Peanut butter and jelly, I guess. They just belong there. But, I mean, they're not necessarily deceiving, but, I mean, if you take the literal meaning of the word Satan, you could apply that to a demon, it seems like. Adversary, accuser. They're doing the same thing, essentially. Maybe Satan does a better job at it. He's been doing it a bit longer. But, I mean, they're essentially doing the same job. I mean, I'm being serious. So, I mean, so they may not be trying to impersonate Satan, essentially. But the literal meaning of the word...
Identify with him.
Can identify with him. Not that that's a good thing. That really sucks, actually. I'm not happy to hear about it, but it makes sense to me, though.
Either way, any demon, I'd be like, I call Father Daniel right away. I'm like, okay, I don't know what to deal with this one.
Yeah, Father Daniel, help us, please.
When one of the things that I'm doing, and I'm going to totally jump track here. It's one of the listed things, though. So I have to.
Nobody's paying our bills except for us. So go ahead.
But I have to do it because we've only got like 8 minutes left, and I wanted to talk about this.
Come on.
Hour. I want to announce, and I think everybody already knows this who listens, but I'm going to the UFO Festival, Alien Festival, in Roswell, New Mexico. It's not this upcoming weekend, not next weekend, but
it's the weekend after.
Yeah, 4th of July weekend. So I'll be in Roswell, 4th of July weekend, at the Alien Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, I scan down the list of things that that we're going to talk about, and one of them is that there could be a link from demonic entities to the UFO abductee phenomena.
I gotta hear this.
I want to know about that because I'm gonna be there and I'm gonna hear a lot of people talking a lot of stuff, and I want to know what's going on.
Father Daniel,
I believe that there may be a link there, oddly enough, because if you look at the reports, the accounts of UFO alien abduction, that phenomenon, and look at the medieval accounts, especially of encounters with the sexual demons, the incubus, the succubus, for instance, there are many similarities. There's almost always, it seems, in these alien abduction accounts, at least an underlying sexual element that goes along very much with the medieval accounts of the lost demons.
Well, the very big thing, obviously, is everybody talks about the anal probe.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you can't that not talk just about...
Just the beginning of the whole thing, it invading your bedroom in the middle of the night, just the whole feel of the whole thing. It's very similar to the stories of the incubus and so forth. So I believe that they may be related phenomenon in one way, whether the medieval demons were actually aliens or whether the aliens now are actually demons. That would be an issue that would take a long time to figure out.
Yeah, of course.
They are. I do believe there is some connection there.
It's surprising because I hadn't really thought of it. So one of the things that I'll do, though, is when I'm down there, because I go to these things, to learn and to being abducted, but to experience.
Well, if there's an anal probe, I don't want to deal with that.
Right. So what I want to do is I want to learn. I'll talk to people who obviously have seen UFO or think they've seen UFOs.
Yeah.
I'll hopefully talk to people who have stories that I would have never in a million years imagined, and I'll get to hear from them and judge from their energy and from how they're talking about it, how they believe.
One interesting experiment would be if someone is commonly being abducted, tell them to try, next time it starts to happen, try saying the prayer to St. Michael. An interesting experiment.
It will be interesting to see what happens.
I should get the card with the prayer on it and suggest it, because I think that would be a really good idea.
It would. It's definitely unexpected. I mean, and believe me, when I was looking at going over show notes for tonight, I'm like, that was not what I expected to talk about.
Well,
but, I mean, but
again, this whole show has been weird, interesting little coincidences because we had to talk.
It has been.
We talked about the construction and you know renovations and stuff with the first couple of things, and now with me going off to the UFO festival, the Roswell festival, in just a couple of weeks,
you're gonna have to get a stack of cards now.
Right. Well, I think that's a good idea with the prayer on it.
Yeah,
And say, hey, you know what? I want you to do this experiment. And I think that would be interesting to hear from anyone who might try that.
I'm going to stick with a good old get out of my house routine. that tends to work if your conviction's there, and I have the look for it already, so I think I got that now.
Yeah.
Judging by the alien pictures I've seen so far, they don't look like they're all that tough.
Well, they're only about this tall, and they're lanky.
Yeah. I can take a 15-pound little gray thing, and I can toss them right out the window. No, I'm just all kidding. Sorry, guy. They're probably like outside the house right now going, yeah, you wait till you go to sleep now, buddy. You just wait. You wait till you crash out, man. We'll see who the tough guy is now when we knock you out with the idiot sensor or whatever that makes you...
But one thing that I'm going to do, Father Daniels, I'm going to, you know, because I'll be immersed in alienism and stuff. I don't know if that's even a word, but I'll be immersed in it.
A new religion by Doug.
For an entire weekend.
Alienism.
And so I'll be listening, and I'm going to try and draw some, I'll find similarities different, I'll pay attention. And that's a lot of learning.
Oh, absolutely.
Is paying attention to these little things. So I think maybe this was a heads up, that came about through the radio show to listen for the, you know, any similarities between demonic possessions, the incubus succubus,
and the UFO
phenomenon, and the UFO stuff.
I
think this was probably a heads up, come at the right time for me to listen.
Thank Father Daniel for that.
Though. Yeah, I really appreciate that. I know that I'm going
to
be
interested
something.
Myself in hearing what you find out talking to people.
I'll keep you informed because I'll be immersed, like I said, for a whole weekend in this stuff, and I'm hoping. I think that this was probably something for me to pick up on and learn and grow from my personal experience or personal knowledge to grow from. And I think that it's a really, you know, it's one of those weird coincidences that you just can't, you know, just don't put it up aside. Just go ahead
and run with it. And
because
there's something to learn from that.
That's what I'm thinking.
Father Daniel, hang on the line for 1 second. We are at the top of it. We only got a couple seconds here, so we have to finish this show up. But hang with us for a second, Father Daniel, okay?
All right.
All right. I want to thank Father Daniel, first of all.
Yes, obviously. The website, www.gargulio, GARGULLIO.com, and www.naoldcatholic.com. Of course, those will be linked up at Ghostly Talk.
Oh, they're already there.
Already there, so there we go. We also have...
Kenneth Deal, who jumped in at the last minute to help us out. Catholic... I just totally blew away my notes.
Well, it's linked up.
CatholicDemonologist.com.
Excellent.
Kenneth Deal's site. We also talked to the mighty Troy Taylor, which is always a treat, about the Haunted America Conference next weekend. If you haven't got your tickets yet, you need to get your tickets. Definitely prairieghost.com/conference.html.
Yes, for the website. Prairieghost.com.
One thing I want to mention, a couple things we didn't get out at the first half hour, real fast, we're going to blow through this. I did want to say thank you last night to our friends at Mansfield Reformatory. Obviously, Gene Lafferty, who was on the show last week, he asked us to come out. He took care of it for us. So thank you so much, Gene. It was a real honor to
find
him.
The Buckeye State folks were
class act,
absolutely
awesome
phenomenal.
Scott Sukel, of course, from Mansfield Reformatory.
And all of the volunteers
there. Brad especially. I sat and talked with Brad all night long. Really nice guy. Finally got, you know, we sat and talked. Really cool guy. Thank you, Brad, for hanging out. Christy Hinkle from Haunting Existence Radio was there also.
Oh, that's
right.
We
got to go ghost hunting together. She was super awesome. It was really great to meet you, Christy. And I want to make sure I mentioned that tonight. Definitely. And I got to mention this really, really, really fast. Christy Hinkle got a picture last night. When we were in a hallway, there was a bat flying back and forth. Kind of like Castlevania, the NES version of it, where the bats just kind of go back and forth ridiculously, you know? It was the same thing. I'm like ducking, like, oh, my God, right? She shoots her camera and gets a picture of this thing mid-air. with no distortion whatsoever. And I think she sent it to me already. So, Christy, thank you. We had a ball last night. It was totally awesome. And as you can hear by our voices, probably, we're really, really tired.
So we're going to go and crash. You guys, our website is www.ghostlytalk.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, all the guests and all the folks who
awesome
make
show.
This
awesome
happen.
Show.
I had a blast.
See you guys next week. Well, no, you're going to see us
not
at the
week.
Conference next week.
Yes, but 2 weeks from now, we'll be back on the air. I've been Doug.
I've been Scott L.
I'm still Bonnie.
And we are out of here. Have a great week, guys. See ya.
Ghostly Talk!
You have been listening to Ghostly Talk Paranormal Talk Radio. The Ghostly Talk audio program is distributed for free under the Open Content License. Please share with all your friends and support independent media.